come back to order?
Please.
Okay. We have reached item number four, Plaque 220-20-010, Structural Improvements and Updates. And this is a decision. Joanna Idy, welcome back. We always love to see you here.
I'm glad to hear it. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Good morning, Commissioners, Director Anderson and Deputy Director Storr. Thank you for having me, as usual. Sorry that I happen to be here every month, but it sounds like you're enjoying it. So, thanks. I appreciate that. So, I am here to request adoption of the WAC 220-010 Reorganization Rule Package, which I briefed the Commission on last month, and we held a public hearing during that time where we didn't receive any public comment. Some slight technical changes I do want to bring your attention to that happened from then until now were made, and they don't affect the policy and the rule, but it was just cleaning up a couple little things. They actually appear on page 10 of your rule packet, and it's in WAC 220-20-117, gaffing and use of other body penetrating devices, personal use. And what I did here was I inserted as provided by department rule instead of the actual WAC reference, so that once we do move everything around into the new numbering construct, I won't have to come back and fix this rule again. This also will protect us in the instance in which we might have another rule that might apply to this particular scenario, so that we develop in the future. So this covers that as well. Also, in that same section, I changed some periods into semicolons, and this was just a drafting issue. It's based on the Code Revisor's Bill Drafting Guide, which is what I follow when redrafting our rules. The periods were not correct. Let's see. I think one other note, there was some questions that were raised. Oh, no. One other note was that there was a Northern Pike provision in the same same section, 220-20-117, and that I discussed with the fish program. They said, oh, no, we didn't actually want that there, which there had been conversations to that. So I struck that portion out, too. But otherwise, it's exactly as I presented it to you in December, and I welcome any questions.
Okay. Any questions? I have one. On page 12, the 220-20-119 gear rules for commercial fishery, I had a little problem understanding the consistency between the first paragraph and then going down to 2B and 2C. What you're talking about, well, first of all, in the first paragraph, it's unlawful for the owner, operator of any commercial food fish or shellfish gear to leave the gear unattended in state or offshore waters unless the gear is marked. Then dropping down to 2B, it's unlawful to operate any gill net attended or unattended unless there's a buoy, float, or marker. Then go down to C, it says it's unlawful to leave a gillnet unattended at any time in the commercial salmon fishery. So explain to me why we refer to leaving a gillnet attended or unattended in B, and then we prescribe it in C. How does that work?
Thank you, Chair. We actually discussed this morning. The chief brought this to my attention as well. He mentioned that you had discussed this with him last night. We talked to some of our fish guys, our enforcement guys out there. And also, so the way it reads us now, and I agree that the wording isn't great, and this is kind of a holdover from what it was before. I didn't want to do too much in the way of wordsmithing. I did want to clean some things up, of course. And I agree that it is kind of confusing. However, if you do say attended or unattended, that means in any instance, you have to, you know, have it marked. What I would suggest, so due to that, there is no conflict between B and C. However, it does raise a little bit of, you know, that's a little confusing. So what I would suggest to fix this would to be to strike the words attended or unattended, and that will fix any sort of red flag, yellow flag, orange flag you might have with that, and not have any reference to it being unattended whatsoever.
Okay.
Yes, in B, excuse me. In subsection 2B, it reads, "It is unlawful to operate any gill net, attended or unattended, unless there is a buoy float or other marker affixed within 5 feet of each end of the net and visible on the cork line." So my recommendation is that we do strike the language attended or unattended, and it means effectively the same thing. However, it is superfluous language. It doesn't need to be there. So I can definitely do that and, you know, put that forward, and it'll be in the final package.
Okay, so I guess this goes to my ignorance of the subject, which is I did not realize you cannot leave a gill net unattended ever, period. Is that correct? That's mm-hmm. Commissioner Carpenter?
Madam Chair, just for clarification. I think it's interpretation of enforcement. As someone has gill netted some years in the past, if you're tied off to one end of the net, then that's attended. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes, in certain situations, the vessel operator will release his boat from the end of the net, the buoy, and run alongside the net for a variety of reasons. Sometimes to scare the seals out of the way, sometimes to run the fish into the net, especially fishing for sockeye. Now, is that unattended? I don't know. But I mean, that does happen. I just wanted to spell it, put that out there.
I would imagine, Commissioner Carpenter, that if, as long as the person is within visual proximity of the net, that they would be attending the net, so that nobody's going to run over it or it's not going to get wrapped up onto something. I think that is the general worry there, and also that someone's going to just leave it and forget about it, and that we have seals and all sorts of things getting into there that don't need to be there.
Actually.
Okay, thanks. That clarifies that. So we should consider that a floor amendment?
Yes.
Okay. So you've proposed, staff has proposed a floor amendment to 2B, striking attended or unattended. Any other questions on this? Commissioner Perry?
These rules put in force, just one number, those apply to non-tribal fishermen.
That's correct.
Did the tribes have a similar provision and how they manage their gill nets? Do they have to be attended at all times?
Some tribes, they do not. Other tribes, they have provisions affecting that. Unfortunately, each one of them, you know, they're self-regulatory, so we don't know for sure whether or not it's consistent all throughout. But I would have to do some research on that in order to let you know for sure which way it would be, one or the other.
No, I don't want to put you to that trouble at all, because there's probably a lot of instances there. My question was based on the fact that I've traveled down the Columbia River and often see gillnet buoys along the river with no boats anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I just wondered, those are probably then tribal.
Yes, that would be correct.
Because you have to attend if it's non-tribal. Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Okay. I see that you haven't been kind. Yeah, okay. Sure, okay. 1 second. I was just going to comment.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I might respond to Chuck's comments, there's a difference between drift gill nets, which are in motion, be it in a river or in a saltwater environment, or set nets, which are tied off to the beach. Those are most often not attended on a regular basis by anybody, whether it's a tribal or non-tribal. We don't have non-tribal set nets that I know of. In Alaska, they have lots of set nets, and they get attended once a tide, as a rule. So, just for your clarification.
So, would these be gill nets?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, but they're not covered by this statute.
Well, we don't, to the best of my knowledge, we don't have non-Indian set nets. Those are used most often, well, they're used in rivers and they are used in some marine areas, but I'm not aware of any in the state of Washington. We could ask Mr. Patillo. Do we have non-tribal set nets?
Yes.
We have drift gill nets, but not set nets?
Drift gill nets.
Okay.
Tribal,
yes. Non-Indian, no, yeah.
Madam Chair.
Yep, Commissioner Jennings.
Thank you. While we have this pause, I just wanted to come back to a comment I planned to make during the commissioner's discussion and failed to. And that is, it was really nice to see how many people on the commission and our engaged representative from the Attorney General's office were wearing blue in support of the fish and wildlife icon called a stellar sea eagle, or better known locally as Seahawks.
Seahawk, yes.
And, you know, when I look
common?
At Seahawks versus
common?
Falcons, not too common around here, but, you know, a Seahawk versus a Falcon, even a gerfalcon has a hard time dealing with a sea eagle that size. So I'm fairly optimistic about Sunday.
Ah, okay. Yeah, our esteemed AG, Assistant AG, was explaining to us the casual Seahawk day where the Attorney General's office goes wild and wears jeans to work.
Then he had to send it back because it was not. We gave him a little brief about it.
Excuse me. I apologize for the pause.
Okay.
But I believe we've worked out whatever questions there were.
Okay. So, Director Anderson?
What we were talking about was in, it's on page 10, it's 220.21.17. Gaffing and use of other body penetrating devices, personal use. And this is the existing language, so I, you know, acknowledge that we're not proposing a change. But the part that caught my attention is under A. A person may use a dip net or club in the landing of a fish taken for personal use angling unless otherwise provided, and a person may gaff in the landing of tuna, halibut, and dogfish, and a harpoon in the landing of halibut. Which means it's illegal to gaff any other fish except for those that are listed, tuna, halibut, and dogfish. And it is a very common practice to use a gaff to land a lingcod, particularly those that are 10 pounds and bigger. And I probably should turn myself in. I didn't realize it until I read this. And so we would have another opportunity to address this. We'd ask, our recommendation again would be to ask you to adopt the rules as proposed. Joanna has two more packages that are following this, and it would give us an opportunity to come back to this and potentially amend it. So we don't lose an opportunity to address this, but if we were to pull this out, then we'd have nothing, which then we don't want to be in that place either. So,
Commissioner Jennings.
So the current 101 we have open to deal with the sports fishing regulations does not cover this WAC. Because it seems to me if this WAC is open under our current 101, in fact, we can address it over the next 2 months as part of our sports fishing regulation. I just don't know if this WAC falls under that CR 101.
Thank you, Commissioner Jennings. Actually, the CR 102 has been filed for the recreational sport fishing rules, and the WACs that are in that are already listed, so it wouldn't be able to be slipped into that. We could potentially do a supplemental, but I don't know if that would fit within the realm of what we're doing with that. So, however, as the director stated, I'm more than happy to revisit this and pull this one singular WAC if we need to address it. Basically, what he's saying is we'd like to have a little bit more time to look at it, and we can. It would be really easy fix and something I could roll into one of my future packages.
Right, and I was just saying, yeah. In fact, it was already open. We'd be able to deal with it sooner, but that works for me also.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner.
Okay, that's cleared up. We can move forward with a motion. Commissioner Bivia, lots of numbers here to read.
Yes, thanks, Madam Chair, I think. I'd like to make a motion. I move to adopt the amendments to WAC 220.20.010 and new sections to WAC 220.20.116, 220.20.117, 220.20.118, 220.20.119, and as amended as proposed in Section 2B, WAC 220.20.120, WAC 220.20.121, WAC 220.20.122, WAC 220.20.123, WAC 220.20.124, and WAC 220.20.125, and WAC 220.20.126.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Motion's been seconded by Commissioner Carpenter. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion carries. Very good job.
Thank you very much.
So we'll see you again in February?
Perhaps. We'll see how the scheduling works out.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.